Welcome to the Practical Consciousness Podcast with James and Lisa, where we help you tap into your highest selves in everyday life.
Welcome to the Practical Consciousness Podcast with James and Lisa. I'm Lisa.
I'm James.
So welcome, everybody. We have a special guest again. This time we are talking to Brandy Reinhart. So Brandy is a licensed professional counselor and a Reiki master. And today we're going to be having a conversation with her about self-healing through noticing patterns and discovering any attachment wounds that we might have. Also accepting all parts of ourselves so that we can develop a growth mindset, raise our vibration, improve our lives. And so just to give you a little background on Brandy, Brandy left a career as a college admissions advisor to go back to school with the goal to help others in a new way. And after graduating with a bachelor's degree in psychology and a minor in business administration, she earned her master's degree in professional counseling. And ever since then, she's been providing therapy for people suffering from different like mental health issues, struggling with addiction, eating disorders, and life changes. And she uses an eclectic approach that includes acceptance and commitment therapy, solution-focused brief therapy, emotional transformation therapy, and some components of dialectical behavior therapy and cognitive behavior therapy. So it's Brandy's goal to help her clients find their inner strength and capacity for healing. She's a believer that life is meant to be purposeful and celebrated, not suffered through. And being recovered from addiction herself for 10 years now, she wholeheartedly knows that recovery is not just possible, it is fulfilling and beautiful. And then more recently, Brandy's been leading groups of people to help them move into living in a more spiritual place, embracing their spiritual gifts, and maybe even stepping out into a spiritual business. So welcome, Brandy.
Hi, thank you so much for that beautiful introduction, Lisa. I do need to update it because I'm 15 years recovered at this point, but you know.
Okay.
Just a number.
Congratulations, that's amazing.
Yeah. So we need to get your new website address. Cause I looked at your old website and I know that you're kind of changing things up a little bit with this new direction that you're going in. And why don't you just start by telling us a little bit about what led you into counseling and sort of how your practice has evolved over time and how you're making this kind of shift.
Well, yeah, I originally went to college to become a lawyer, sat at the defense table during a murder trial and decided that's not for me. It's just not the direction I want to go with life. And my patterns and woundedness led to some addiction. I dropped out of school and then luckily I ended up doing therapy, and therapy addressed addiction from a trauma perspective. And I realized I was healing not only just my wounds, but generational wounds, and magic was happening. And a life that I had never imagined for myself began to become a realization. And through that, my therapist goes, "I really think you should be a therapist." Because I was already going back to school and I was planning to just stick to the research side because I was in neuroscience labs and I was picking apart people's brains and it was fun and fascinating. But she said, "I just really feel you have the gift of counseling also. So you should definitely consider it." And then it felt aligned. By the time I got to that space, I realized I just really craved that interaction face-to-face with people and watching them grow and heal and move and discover their own light was so powerful that I was like, no, there's no way I could go back to the research. This is where I'm going to stay.
Must be very rewarding. I just can't even imagine. I mean, I know through coaching my clients, you know, it's very rewarding to see the shifts and the changes, but helping people with these like really deep wounds. I can't imagine how amazing that must be.
Especially because I started out my career working in eating disorder hospitals and seeing people go from literally dying to these people who wanted to live. They had goals. They weren't hurting. They weren't walking around, unable to participate with life anymore and just trying to numb themselves to everything. So yeah, it can be tragic, but it also can be so amazingly rewarding at the same time.
Yeah, I can imagine. So now you have your own practice. You've been practicing for several years, but I'm just curious, how did your sort of spirituality or intuition or whatever, however you want to describe it to us, how did that sort of shift over time for you?
Well, it's really interesting because as I started working with clients, I would still touch base with my favorite counselor, and she started having this rapid spiritual awakening and didn't tell me about it. And I think just being around her energy, recovery itself brought this new depth and personal relationship with source, with God, with the universe, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And so that just created this openness, this receptivity to just begin developing that. And I think it was after the birth of my first child, I was doing this therapy called emotional transformation therapy. My friends were like, it's brand new, it's amazing. It wasn't actually new, it'd been around a while, but to them it was new. But I did it and I had this profound spiritual experience with the light, because you're literally looking at color as spectrums of light, which will bring up different things within your neural pathways, and then also goes deeper than that within each chakra, within each layer.
Use this in your practice? This is therapy that you use in your practice?
Yes.
Interesting.
And it's something that transformed my life. So I had such an intense spiritual experience just working on a father wound, for example. It was like, I had been doing yoga and meditation for years, but this was next level. This was something I'd never felt or experienced before. And it took me almost 2 years to fully incorporate that into my practice of like figuring out how to, because I became really energy sensitive and I could be working with clients and I could feel when the energy was stagnant, and then I could feel when the energy was flowing, and I started seeing, little sparkles, and I would know if there was a dark shadow near them. Oh, that's an issue. We need to go in and heal.
Oh, or I love that.
There would be these little sparkles to go, oh, that's one of their strengths, or that's something really special to them, and it just, it was unmentionable at first, because I have a lot of very traditional, I have worked with every kind of client, every religion, atheist, Muslim, like fill in the blank. And so they didn't know that I was like actually being guided and noticing things that I couldn't really explain.
Right.
And it's interesting that you bring that up too, because, Lisa and I are coaches, not therapists, but we have those intuitive pieces as well that we notice when we're coaching a client. And it is a delicate, case by case basis where you kind of, how do you help them become aware of something that you're noticing that they necessarily aren't open to, which brings me to a question you brought up before we started recording. This idea, we were talking about law of attraction and manifestation and how a lot of our listeners, that's kind of their path, right? They want to change something in their life. And so this idea of law of attraction is interesting, because that's a way to start opening up a spiritual aspect of ourselves, at least. Consciousness that maybe wasn't there before. And then they get frustrated because, things aren't happening the way the book, The Secret, said, or Abraham Hicks says it goes. And we were talking about how we have these wounds, and that we have these wounds, generational wounds, like you mentioned. And we may have wounds that are like early developed. You called it attachment wounds. these attachment wounds that we're maybe not even aware of that exists, but are part of our life and maybe working against us to some extent, and where we want to go. So can you talk a little bit more about that in particular?
Yeah, absolutely.
How do you help the clients like connect to those things?
Well, for my super science-y clients, I say of all the soft science and psychology, when we talk about attachment, it is basically hard science. We could fill an entire building with the amount of research on attachment. And attachment is basically who were our primary caregivers and what was our relationship to them as our brain grew and developed over time. Because if you look at like the, you know, neural pathways, you have the base of the brain and everything else develops kind of on top of that. And if we are operating that way our whole life, and there's something that maybe was a great defense mechanism in childhood or a pattern in childhood that was okay then, but as a grown-up, it's causing us serious issues. Sometimes, yeah, it takes some help from a coach, from a therapist, from a healer to go, let's look at this. And, you know, I have some expertise in this area and let's address it. And a lot of people are afraid to go there because they think if they ever say anything wrong or have hard feelings towards their mother and father, that it will sever that connection to that parent, which is not at all true. That's black and white thinking. Yeah. Because their parents are perfectly imperfect, just like we were. There's some things that they did that were so amazing. And there are some things that they did that had consequences and hurt us.
Right.
And that's just the nature of being human. So that base of our brain is the biological mech knows instinctively, if I am alone in the world without a parent, I will die. So believe it or not, that's still there even as we grow up, and we have to notice when that's showing up for us.
Yeah. Yeah. So interesting. I never thought of it that way. But even with my mom being gone, sometimes she was an alcoholic. And so sometimes when I have thoughts about things that happened, sometimes I feel bad or guilty about it. Like, cause now I know she's in spirit and she knows what I'm thinking. And I'm like, oh, but I love you. And exactly. It's okay. You did the best you could.
Right. And even if we have that underlying belief, my parents did the best that they could with what they had at the time. There's still some pretty strong resistance that I run to really often with addressing the pain of our younger versions of self, or we could say those neural pathways that have just been hardwired. The really cool thing is with the more modern techniques and through energy healing, you can actually cause a cascade effect of healing where you're dealing with this one thing about, you know, she wouldn't make me those chocolate chip muffins and I was devastated, and it's like healing all those things that connected to that neural pathway. Or if you could say energetically, you know, it's in the same chakra, it's linked, it's corded to these other things, but it's like patterns of emotions that happen repeatedly and maybe even subconsciously. And when we have feelings, it's okay to acknowledge them. It doesn't mean that we are still a child who can't survive being disconnected from our parent. We can still be the wise adult who's connected to the parent and heals the way that the parent hurt us.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's almost like healing. You hear people talk about healing that child too, like helping that child know it's okay. You're safe and you're fine.
Yeah. And I trained in Pia Melody too. So I love the inner child. And then you've got what she calls the adapted adolescent, which is like at age 6, everyone's brain starts to myelinate. And so they develop this inner critical parent where if I'm trying to avoid shame or getting in trouble or other things, I begin to be real harsh on myself. And that's when we talk about that really harsh negative talk, adapted adolescent, inner teenager, whatever you want to call it, inner critical parent. And that's something that's good to work on healing as well if we want to manifest to the next level, if we want to be more fulfilled, more joyful, more freely authentic.
Yeah, we both Lisa and I are what's called PQ coaches, positive positive intelligence, and the concept, we all have this judge, this aspect of ourselves that lives in that fight or flight part of our brains that was we called in as a kid because we didn't feel safe. And so this aspect of us helped us at that time feel safe. But at this point, as an adult, we still kind of have built a habit of listening to this judge. And that the reality is that I love the analogy. It's like when you were a kid, you fell out of a tree, broke your arm. And so you put a cast on, which is that judge. And then, you know, normally 6 weeks goes by, you cut the cast off, you know, move about your life. But we're here we are, whatever age we are in adulthood, we're still carrying that cast around in our
mind. Yeah, right? I never thought of it that way.
And it's like,
it doesn't fit anymore.
Yeah, it's like,
stinky too.
Yeah.
That's pretty ripe. And I'm really itching underneath.
Time to get that cast off.
But
it's call so Randy, itchy. She'll help you get that itchy, cast itchy. Off.
Yeah. So I think, you know, that's just one analogy of this concept that there's an aspect of us that is sabotaging our growth in life, right? Or our goals, our ambitions, or our big fat hairy whys of why we want to move forward. And so I love the idea that, you know, like one of my shadows that I've worked with is this shadow of what's called, false independence. And it's really kind of an inner child piece too, where I feel like I have to do everything myself, right? And it really stems out of this shadow itself really stems out of this a little bit of victimhood, right? Where I got to do everything myself. No one's going to take care of me.
Yeah.
And once I started kind of becoming aware and integrating that and saying, that's just part of me that's helping me grow and understand, then it really started to release a lot of development and growth in my own character, my own self, where I started to see it and I started to become aware of when it's playing out. And I could go, okay, well, I want to transition that piece of me into one that is willing to be helped, one that is willing to accept support from others because that's helping them grow. And I think that's just one example of what you're kind of talking about here.
That's a great example though, James. I mean, that's so common. I think a lot of us who had any kind of wounding in our childhood, which is most people, I mean, there's supposedly this magical 20% that didn't, but I haven't met them yet.
They haven't walked in your door.
Not in your business.
They haven't come knocking. No.
However, that fierce independence, and you know, there's some in counseling language, we say like fierce independence or radical independence is a trauma response. And people get so afraid of the word trauma, but by trauma, we just mean anything like you spoke to, that you have the fight, flight, freeze, or fawning portion of your brain. And that portion maybe is holding the memory of that feeling pretty strongly. Yeah. Or within your energetic field would be another way to say it. There's a signature of how strongly you felt the need to do things yourself to avoid shame, or because caregivers weren't reliable or school teachers weren't reliable or whatever is, you know, attached to that idea of I have to do it on my own. And I, you know, and so maybe that was even modeled for us.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the first step when you recognize something like that? What's the first step? I mean, is acceptance the first step?
Acceptance. Or? Boom. There it is.
Okay.
I love it, Lisa.
Yay. I get a gold star.
I really believe acceptance is the first piece. It's not something that to be ashamed of. It's not something to bemoan. It's like, oh, okay. I can accept that that's a piece of me. And often this sounds really strange, but people will say, can I thank that piece? When I notice it coming up for me, can I say, thank you so much for trying to protect me in this moment, but I've got it, you know, and I can take it from here, but I'm going to acknowledge that you're showing up for me and that you're you're defending me right now.
Yeah. And to me, that's like hugging that child and saying, it's okay. What that happened to you. And it makes perfect sense that you now react in this way, but it's okay.
What's kind of coming up for me when you said that was to a large extent, you're kind of starting to parent yourself. You're starting to say, mm-hmm. You're kind of playing that role of the parent of that child within and really fostering that unconditional love for yourself are fostering that, that self-empathy and say, you know, mm-hmm. self-compassion where, you know, I love you and I love this about you. And I don't want, I may want to change it or like you said, I've got this, you know, we don't need this anymore right now in my life, but that's, I love how you said that. That's a place from acceptance instead of resistance.
Right. Because if we resist and avoid, they're even louder, right? Have you ever like, stop thinking about your feet, whatever you do right now, don't think about your feet. Don't do it. Does that even work? That doesn't even work.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. Or you get more of what you resist. We've talked about that on this podcast.
Yeah.
Or when you tell somebody who's mad or upset, don't be upset. Right.
Right.
That always is so effective, isn't it?
Or calm down.
Calm down.
You need to calm down. Right.
There's no reason to be upset.
Okay. So you work with clients one-on-one in these kinds of situations. How does the groups that you work with, how does that work? Are these people who've come over from your one-on-one?
Some of them are just part of spiritual communities, maybe Reiki retreats, yoga, and or people who just found out about me through someone else. Now I've got my website up, so maybe more people will be drawn to it.
We need to get that. What's that website?
It's brandycreinhart.com.
Okay. So
yeah. I'm still working on it because it just went up Monday. And so I still have some edits to do, but I'm excited about updating my website. But spiritual groups, they run about like once per month, some of them twice per month. And so I have a big mixture of people in there, some just exploring their spiritual gifts and they're just dabbling in thing. And so we have lessons on like different modalities. Like we might study angels or tarot or crystals or whatever else. And if we have a group member that specializes in that thing, they get to share, you know, their gifts and kind of self-promote as well. And then we have some people who just, they don't have anyone to talk about this. This is this weird thing that they do, but they don't really have any family or friends who are woo-woo. So they love having a community where they're just fully accepted. They can embrace it. They can say, look, this thing happened to me today and you won't believe it. And everyone goes, yay. Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
Yeah. And nobody thinks it's weird. I've got that, you know, about my story about the robin with the worm in its mouth and how I had been asking my mom for guidance. My mom has passed. And I asked for the robin, asked her to bring me a robin. I said, put a worm in its mouth. And it actually, a robin jumped in my path and it had a worm in its mouth. This just happened a few weeks ago. And some people I tell, like someone like you or James, you're like, wow, that's amazing. Some people I tell, like family, they're like,
Yeah. Right.
They don't have anything to say.
I get that from my family too. I'll be like, this amazing thing happened. They're like,
mm-hmm. But there's a lot of robins out this time of year. I'm seeing robins in my yard all the time.
They're like,
okay.
Yeah. And then I was on a group call with you, Lisa, and a robin landed on my roof with something in its mouth. So not unusual for different birds to land on the roof, but with this giant thing in its mouth, I was like, okay, that's Lisa.
Well, and another guy on that call, and because I had shared this with the group, right? So now everyone, that's one of these concepts of like, as soon as you open yourself up to it, you're going to start noticing it. And same thing with him. He, you know, I guess in his household, sometimes it's very chaotic. He has little kids. And this day, everybody was at peace and calm. And he goes outside to get the garbage can on the driveway. And there's a robin with a worm in its mouth. And so it was just like, And he immediately thought about spirit because, you know, that was what we had been talking about. So yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
Brandy, wanted to, I know we're kind of getting toward the end, but I wanted to ask you, go back to something you said earlier. You were talking about when you work with your clients, sometimes you can see through their aura or see some parts of them, some aspects of them, energetic aspects of them, or spiritual aspects of them that maybe they're unaware of and that are playing into the topic that you guys are just, whatever wounding or whatever you're talking about. I'm just curious, like, how do you integrate, like, knowing you're working with somebody who maybe is not necessarily open to going there at this point for whatever reason, how do you work with them knowing what you know? And then how do you help them on their journey to open up and maybe start to accept that's there or that that's part of them?
Yeah, I love that question. James, in traditional counseling, what we call this trauma-informed therapy is like, I'm not going to push anyone further than they feel comfortable. If they are not ready to address it, it doesn't matter how wonderful and skilled of a healer that you are, nothing's going to happen. Like, it's their journey, right? Mm-hmm. So it's about helping them to embrace aspects around that thing that maybe they're willing and open to look at, and then they will find their way to it. And you just keep with consistency going back to it and saying, let's look at these pieces. And eventually they'll walk in the door and say, okay, I remember that time you said this thing and I'm ready. It's causing me problems. Let's get to it. So I think it's part intuition and then just part people letting you know. Sorry about that. That was my.
So what kinds of shifts have you seen? Like, what kinds of openings have you noticed with clients with that in those kind of situations?
Oh, it can be really profound. Like, for example, I had one client whose father died when she was a child, but she said, I don't want to do therapy on that. I'm not interested in going there. It has nothing to do with me today. I said, okay, I didn't say we had to go there. But over time, she started noticing these synchronicities, and she had this vivid dream. And I would always kind of just be really open, accepting to her experiences. And she had this dream that she had a visitation from her father in her dreams. And she said, I noticed there was this thing, this emotional theme. And I woke up and I could hardly handle it in my waking life. And she goes, I'm ready to go there. I'm ready to do the work around it so that I can have a dream or a visitation from my father in my dream and be at peace with it.
Yeah, I love that. Oh, that's a great example. Thanks for sharing that. Wow.
Yeah.
Within the coaching perspective, I had one person who it was just so hard to let go of this old relationship, even though it was very toxic, or an old boss, that both were issues. And so we would kind of do the work around it and let go a little bit at a time. And it's about just honoring what they're willing to do, but staying consistent with, you know, reflecting back to them. We're not addressing, we don't have to address this if you don't want to, but I'm noticing that you're saying this, which is similar to this and similar to what you brought up 3 weeks ago. And it's come up again today. And so it's like, you just consistently reflect back. Here's my observation.
Yeah, I'm not seeing a therapist now, but just very recently I was for several years. And that's exactly what she would do. And it was just always amazing. Cause I would be like driving there and like, I might quit today. I think I'm done. I'm good. And then I would go in there and she'd be like pointing these things out, you know, like very gently, like, you don't have to do this if you don't want to. But I'm noticing dun, 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 you know, this pattern. Yeah. That's a beautiful gift that you provide to your clients.
I tell my sons, my youngest son, he's a pediatrician. He's very science-based person. And we were having a conversation and he's like, Dad, when do you stop growing? I mean, here you are 50 some years old. You're still, you're still working on yourself. And I'm like, well, I imagine in being in an old folks home or something, laying in a bed, and I'm still working on myself, right? I mean, that's part of why we're in this meat wagon and this physical experience, because we're human beings. And so we're here to grow and learn. And I imagine that that's part of, I just think that that's a continuous aspect of being a human being, is we're constantly growing. We're constantly working on ourselves. And
James, you ruined it for me. I thought that I was like, thought I was headed to the end of, edge of the rainbow and that I was just going to sit on the beach and sip my, well, little, you
know, it's your choice.
It'd be a Moscow mule for me.
When I'm bliss. I think that's part of the illusion. And I have a lot of clients who want to grow. They want to feel happy and fulfilled, but they don't want to look within, because looking within might be, there might be something painful there, or there might be something that maybe is an inconvenience. If I address that pattern that's affecting my loved ones, maybe it's really inconvenient for me. And I kind of am just fine the way that I am.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Make a deal.
It's their problem, not mine.
Yeah. And then the illusion that if we have growth mindset, then we're never fully satisfied with the place we are at in life. And that's not true. That's very black and white thinking. But a lot of my clients who are very sciencey get into the black and white thinking about that. And it's like, when am I ever done? Well, you can be happy and fulfilled and joyful and in acceptance of all parts of self with the underlying core belief of I'm willing and open to work on the next thing, and it will show up when it's needed.
I love that.
Love it.
I love, you know what? That's a great place to end. I love that. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, that's beautiful. That's exactly what we were talking about and what we like to teach our listeners about. So
yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And I mean, I take away from this conversation, a very strong, reminder that there is so much that's under the surface, like you said, that is we're maybe not aware of, and sometimes just becoming aware and accepting it is all that's needed to be done at that point, right? Mm-hmm. Is to just say, there you are. And I love you. I love me for having this. And I love my life. Absolutely. And I love it in its whole totality. And nothing needs to change. I'm whole.
Yeah. Well, and I love seeing that there are people out there like you, Brandy, who have these amazing gifts. I mean, there's a lot of really good counselors out there, but you are a counselor plus. Like, you got all these amazing gifts because you're open to spirit.
Yeah, and you bring all the tools and all the dimensions into the therapy session, which it's such a powerful thing.
It is very powerful.
Thank you so much. And thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes. And so you're starting some new groups. Like, you're going to start opening up for more groups. So if people are interested, we're going to put your new website on with the recording, and they can check you out and see when things are available for them to sign up.
Yeah, I have another new group opening up, a spiritual group for people who want to grow their spiritual gifts, or maybe branch out into exploring spiritual modalities with a community.
Okay, perfect. I love that. I'm sure there's lots of people who are interested in that.
Yay.
I am.
You know, every guest we have on this podcast, I want to hire.
Like, I want to work with you. A lot of amazing healers out there. So thank you so much for sharing your gifts with the world.
Yeah. Thanks for being with us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on. And it was an honor to be with both of you. And I wouldn't have been able to dive deep without both of you having explored your own depth. So that's a gift too.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, I guess with that, we will say thank you and goodbye to our listeners.
Bye.
Bye.